Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Folks, welcome to this incredible throwback edition of the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where I talk to Matthias Schraner. He is the president of Schraner Negotiation Institute. We talk all about how deadlocks may actually be inevitable in negotiations. So why not embrace them? We even talk about how sometimes relationships can hinder the negotiation and hinder the negotiation process. I think you'll enjoy this amazing episode with Matthias Schraner. Matthias, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, my friend. It's been far too long. We've been playing a bit of cat and mouse to get you on the show and make sure you're here to share your wisdom and your knowledge. And today we're going to be talking all about mistakes that people make in negotiations. But before we get into that conversation, I wonder if you could share with the people a little bit about your background and what you're doing now with the Schraner Negotiation Institute.
Well, I'm a former hostage negotiator, and after working for the police department for more than 17 years, I set up my own company. It's the Schraner Negotiation Institute. We are based in Zurich. We do have an office here in New York and in Hong Kong. And with our institute, we support our clients in really tough negotiations. So what I try to do, I try to translate my knowledge and experience from tough negotiations, working as a police negotiator, to the management, because most of business managers are not prepared for difficult negotiations.
And I think that's very unique in that, I mean, we've had guys like Scott Tillema and Chris Voss on before, and Jack Cambria, and all these hostage negotiation legends, and they talk about the difficulty of being in sort of like a no-lose scenario, because there's really no backup option when it comes to having people that are in a hostage situation. When businesses are trying to get through difficult, quote-unquote difficult negotiations, what do you think are the biggest mistakes that people make? What are the most costly mistakes that those people make in negotiations?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is in business that these guys, they try to avoid a deadlock scenario. Because they are not trained for really tough negotiations, they do everything to avoid this conflict, this ultimate conflict. They try to offer compromises, they postpone decisions, you know, they try to get out of this scenario. And as a police negotiator, as you mentioned, Jack or Scott or Chris, these legends of negotiations, they know as a police negotiator, every negotiation starts with a deadlock. Because if you arrive there, there is a deadlock already. Like a hostage taker is telling you, if I don't get the getaway car, for example, I will kill the first hostage. So from a police perspective, a deadlock is not... It's your standard procedure to find a solution out of a deadlock. And what we try to do in business negotiations, also in politics, we try to train them, don't avoid a deadlock, create it because it's necessary for a good outcome for both parties.
Why do you think they avoid those deadlocks? What is the fear there?
Well, the fear is they have to make a commitment, and they are always emotionally attached, and they haven't learned to control themselves under pressure. You know, as a police negotiator, like Jack with, I think, 35 years of experience, you learn to control yourself, and then you learn to control your negotiation partner. In business, they didn't learn it at school or at university. They've never learned to handle tough negotiations. That's why they have no idea what to do.
So when you say we need to basically start the process with a deadlock, or at least try and create the deadlock situation, how do we, once we get to that deadlock situation, what are the first few things you would recommend to get through that deadlock to get to a good outcome?
So number one is you need to think about the right team structure. What most companies, what they do, they try to find out who in our company has the best relationship to the other party. And then they send in the one with the best relationship to the most critical negotiation, which is always wrong. Because in a tough negotiation, you should be conflict-oriented and not relationship-oriented. So to give you an example, if let's say company A is negotiating against company B in a sales process, they always send the key account manager because this guy has the best relationship to the client. Yeah? And if you step into this negotiation as a key account manager, you have always two targets. Number one, you want to maintain the relationship, and number two, you want to ask for a, let's say, price increase. And under pressure, these guys always go for the relationship and not for the money. So what we teach them, number one, you need to find someone who is conflict-oriented, not relationship-oriented. This is, we call them the negotiator, the speaking negotiator. Recommendation number two, we need a commander. A commander is, like in a police negotiation task force, someone who is monitoring the negotiator, is focusing on strategy. And we need a decision maker. A decision maker is never involved in the negotiation at the table. So from a company perspective, we don't allow a C-level guy like a CEO to join the negotiation.
Because they succumb too easily to making decisions on the fly, or you want to separate them from the decision-making process? Why not include the CEO?
In a negotiation, you can get damaged. You can, need to make sure that the decision-maker is after the negotiation is still able to maintain the relationship, able to paint the big picture for the future. And if you get damaged in a negotiation, you can't do it anymore.
Right.
A CEO shouldn't be damaged in the negotiation process. That's why we tell them, we don't allow them to join the negotiation.
Yeah, fantastic. And so when you run up against, because I mean, oftentimes what I see is CEOs want to take charge of the negotiation. They want to push it through and make it happen. When you run into those conflicts internally within the organization where a CEO may want to take charge of the negotiation, what do you find is the best way to convince the CEO to stay apart from that negotiation and still just maintain the role of decision maker?
Very often CEOs are let's say, a little bit ego-driven. They want to join the negotiation because they really believe they have to protect the negotiation team because they know it better. What we tell them, dear CEO, if you join this negotiation, you will be damaged. That's not your job. Your job is to paint the big picture, to talk about the strategy. So we always set up, we call it a decision maker meeting prior to the negotiation. We tell them after the negotiation, you need to talk to the CEO of the other party, making sure we can maintain our professional and long-term oriented relationship.
When this, and this, what I consider your approach and a lot of hostage negotiators' approaches, I mean, it's very counterintuitive to a lot of business people, right? They want to send in the relationship person because they believe that with that relationship, they'll be able to get a deal in place. But as we've seen, that generally isn't the case because we've got that two-target scenario where they automatically try and default to the relationship versus getting the value. How do you... It takes quite a bit of courage for someone to be able to trust you to say, okay, we're going to send in someone who's more conflict-oriented than relationship-oriented. When we get into that type of a situation and you have to win over your client to be able to say, look, we need to send in someone conflict-oriented because of X, Y, and Z, because we're going to get a better result. And you run into the clash of like, well, what if that person damages the relationship? What do you say to that? Calling all multitasking negotiators, I am speaking to you, so listen up. Whether you're listening on your commute or the Peloton or anywhere in between, this is important. Are you looking for ways to increase your procurement productivity and save thousands of dollars? Scout RFP helps to simplify and automate the sourcing process so you can get more done faster. You need to check out Scout RFP at scoutrfp.com/negotiation. I'm going to repeat that. That's scoutrfp.com/negotiation. Stop digging through spreadsheets, emails, and documents for contracts and project information. You are wasting your time and your valuable resources. You need a better tool, and that's Scout. Over 190 global brands like Adobe, Biogen, EasyJet, Salesforce, and Zappos trust Scout RFP's automated sourcing and supplier engagement platform. Scout RFP's platform is super easy to use, and most organizations can get up and running in just hours. You need to see for yourself at scoutrfp.com/negotiation. I know Scout. I've used Scout. I trust these guys. Check it out at scoutrfp.com/negotiation. And now back to your show.
Well, we need to focus on two different topics. Number one is our, let's say, hardball approach. Yeah, it's we want the conflict. That's number one. That's our strategic and tactical approach. The other element is the tone of a negotiation. You need to be always very respectful. You don't destroy a relationship because of your high demand. You destroy a relationship because of a disrespectful tone.
That's right.
So we don't teach them tricks or unfair tactics. The problem, and this is the real problem, and this is possibly the biggest costly mistake, most people under pressure communicate in a disrespectful way. Mm-hmm. They're threatening the client. They are talking about negative consequences. They destroy a relationship. And this is why it's so important that we need to separate these two topics. So the strategy is always hardball. Create a conflict, don't avoid it. The tone is extremely respectful. So we never play this good guy, bad guy nonsense. We are all of our negotiation team are very respectful and demanding.
Very good. Are there habits that you could leave the listeners with on how to get to the point of getting to that hardball negotiation style? Because they've developed a habit right now over a series of years, and they may even have a culture that revolves around focusing on the relationship first when it comes to trying to deliver value in a negotiation. How are there any kind of habits that they can implement on a day-to-day basis that can help them get to the point where you're saying they need to get to?
Yes. So based on our experience, there are two, let's call it philosophies. Philosophy number one is low-hanging fruits first. So we talk about the easy stuff, and because we do have a relationship. Biggest problem, as you know, at the end, you need to talk about the stumbling blocks. Philosophy number two is put the fish on the table. That means if you do have a demand, use it at the beginning, so tell them what you want. And this is what we teach our clients. There is a conflict. You can't avoid it. Don't circle around. Don't get in this loop talking about the nice stuff. Go there in a very professional team structure, negotiator and commander, and tell them what you want in a very respectful tone. But you have to tell them what you want. That's, in our philosophy, put the fish on the table.
Yeah, very, very good. I think people are they're scared a lot oftentimes to be very, very expressive about asking for more than they expect to get, because they fear that rejection that they might get from the client, and they fear that relationship damage. But as you say, oftentimes it's not a result. The relationship is not damaged as a result of asking for too much. It's just how you ask for those things.
Definitely, definitely. I agree completely. It's the tone, not the demand.
Yeah, fantastic. You've got a fantastic conference called the N Conference. What's that all about?
Well, what we have learned from our clients, if you're very experienced in negotiations, you don't want to listen to a lot of, let's say, theory about negotiations. You want to exchange your ideas, your experience, and you don't want to talk to someone who, let's say, who wrote a book about negotiations. You want to talk about to someone who did it, these tough negotiations. That's why we invited these legends like Jack Cambria. I'm a huge fan of Jack. He's amazing. He knows exactly how to solve a tough negotiation. We invited Scott. Scott is a master in listening. So he's a master in reading between the lines. So this conference is not only about listening to someone who has an idea about negotiation. It's about talking to someone who did it already. And so we exchange ideas, we exchange experience. We do have breakout sessions. We do have a lot of talking, a lot of networking. We set up a dinner prior to this negotiation conference. So it's about exchanging ideas, exchanging experience.
Fantastic. And when is it?
It's November. It starts on Wednesday evening with the dinner, November 13th, with an academy day. And then we call it a 3-day conference. And the main topic is on November 15th here in New York City at the Park Hyatt.
Brilliant. And I've only heard good things about this conference. Everyone that I've spoken to who's been there and spoken there said it's absolutely fantastic. So for the listeners, I encourage you to check that out. As we close off, Matthias, I wonder if you could just leave the listeners with 3 things that you think that people can do today to improve their negotiation results.
So number one is you need to know what you want. You need to set your clear target. So what do I want? Number two is the strategy. The best strategy for tough negotiations is not to avoid a conflict. It's to create one. So tell them what you want in our philosophy. Put the fish on the table. And always be respectful. Respectful means don't tell them that you are right and they are wrong. The target of a negotiation is not to convince a negotiation partner. The target is always to reach an agreement, to find a solution. So don't insist on being right. Don't tell them that they are wrong. Start with the demand. If you start with the demand, you force them to start with their demand, and that's the starting point for a negotiation.
I love that last point. Can you repeat that last point? Not to convince the other party, but to come to an agreement.
To come to an agreement, because it's also, in business negotiations, in police negotiations, and also in private negotiation, very often we try to convince them. We start with arguments. And as you know, if you start with an argument, you will receive a counter argument. This is not a negotiation. A negotiation is you say what you want, they say what they want, and then you try to find a solution. And if you don't insist on being right, then it's, from my perspective, it's quite easy to negotiate.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good. And what's the best way for people to follow you online, Matthias?
Well, we do have our website, which is Schreiner.com. We do have a LinkedIn account, Schreiner.ag, and you could follow our my Twitter account, which is Schreiner.ms. And we follow a lot of tough negotiations in politics, like the American president, for example. We focus on negotiations between China and America right now. So we always try to come up with our advice. What would we do in such a case? And you will get a lot of insights about negotiations.
Brilliant. I love it. And for the listeners, just so that you know, that's Schreiner.com, Schreiner Negotiations. Matthias, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, man. I really appreciate it. Very, very enlightening about conflict and the mistakes that people make when it comes to negotiation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Hey, friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.